Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Bodison, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part one of The Purpose of the Gifts of the Spirit, as we turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
You remember the 12th, 13th, and 14th chapter are one continuous discussion and teaching on the subject of the gifts of the Spirit, the body of Christ functioning together for its own edification, and how all of this can only happen if love is the atmosphere. And so in the 12th chapter, Paul, you know, laid out the spiritual gifts for us, and he mentioned a number of them there. And then he talked about the body and each member having a vital function. And then he showed in the 13th chapter how it all works when love is flowing through each and every one of us, when that's the atmosphere that we're ministering to one another in. Now, remember, as we've been studying this epistle to the Corinthians church was pretty messed up church. They had a lot of issues. And so they didn't have a lot of love necessarily, and had some weird ideas doctrinally, and they were squabbling with each other, and they were involved in sexual sin, and it was kind of a mess. And this epistle, as we pointed out from the beginning, is corrective. Paul is seeking to correct the things that were wrong in the church. And so even here, this teaching, although it's of course instructional, it was absolutely corrective as well, because they had wrong ideas about the gifts. And it seems that the major misconception they had to do with the gift of tongues, that they had taken tongues and elevated it to a position that it just simply was never meant to be in. That they saw tongues as, this is it, this is the ultimate gift, this is the gift that everybody has to have, and when we get together, you know, the more tongues, the better. And they even seem to have seen it as the great tool for evangelizing, preaching the gospel. So they had a totally distorted view of tongues. And what Paul really, you know, shows them throughout this teaching here is that tongues, of course, is a legitimate gift of the Spirit, but he says, really, the reality is it's probably the least important one. And the reason he says it's the least important one is because the primary purpose of the gifts is for the blessing of the body, for the building up of all of God's people. But tongues is more of a gift that edifies just the individual person. And because that's the case, it's not really to be held in that highest position when you consider the congregational setting of everything. All of this is in the context of the congregation gathering together. So Paul's saying, look, when you gather together, tongues is not the main thing. And so here in the 14th chapter, he's really going to just kind of lay out the priority of the gifts here and put tongues in its proper perspective. And he's really only going to deal here in the chapter with the gift of tongues and the gift of prophecy. He doesn't go into any of the other things he mentioned, the healings and the miracles and the words of wisdom and knowledge and so forth. He leaves that, but he just focuses in on these two gifts. So he says then, having just declared the supremacy of love and how love was absolutely essential to be, again, the atmosphere, he goes on. And he says in verse 1, he says, so pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So this is his instruction to God's people. Here we are as God's people today, gathered together congregationally, and this word is for us: pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So that's where we're to be at. We are to be in the pursuit of love. When we get together as God's people, we want to love each other. We want to spend time blessing one another, just with that love that we have for each other. It's so easy sometimes, you know, in ministry and in church environments and stuff, sometimes it's so easy to overlook the most important things and get all distracted and kind of, you know, caught up with a lot of other things that, not to say that they don't have a place, but sometimes they can just become the emphasis. You know, I like to do the social media stuff, and so I'm on Twitter and Instagram and all of that stuff, and I follow a bunch of different people who are in ministry, and you know, there's some really great stuff, and that's why I do it. I enjoy a lot of the stuff that I see there, but then at the same time, you know, you just sort of see sometimes, you know, the emphasis is always on, you know, some big event, you know, or some, you know, great thing somebody did, or some promotion that somebody's getting, or something like that. And, you know, after a while, it's sort of the whole celebrity thing that goes on within the context of the church world. And you're just reading about this celebrity pastor and that celebrity pastor and this mega ministry and all of that. And you know, after a while, sometimes you just think, wow, you know, it's like we just have our own version of Hollywood going here. You know, it's just the Christian version of it. And then, but sometimes, you know, the Lord just brings you back down. And this week I read this book, and I've mentioned this testimony, this woman before, but she was a former professor, and she was gay activist, a lesbian, and so forth. But I read her story. She's a little book. It's her testimony. And her whole story about coming out of the gay lifestyle and everything was very fascinating. But the thing that was interesting to me is that's kind of only part of the book. It just sort of begins there, but it moves on, and it talks about her life as she began to walk with the Lord and grow in the Lord, and as she got married to a man and they got into the ministry together. And anyway, to make a long story short, you know, they never pastored a large church. They were involved in, you know, small churches and sort of no-name people. But, you know, just as she's sharing the stories of ministering to these people, and they got also involved in adopting children, and they've adopted 5 children. And so she's telling the stories of some of these adoptions and things. You know, as I'm reading this, I'm just thinking, man, you know, this is the real stuff right here. You know, this is the real thing. It's just loving each other. It's loving people. It's loving one another. It's loving God's people, no matter what they look like or how they dress or, you know, how hip or cool they are or what they can do for you or how they might benefit you. You know, because sometimes we get caught up in all of that stuff. But, you know, God doesn't care about any of that stuff. He is not impressed with any of that stuff. Now, again, going back to the Corinthians, we know that these are the kinds of problems they had, because they were all into intellectualism. They were all into power. They were all into, you know, being, in a sense, sort of the hippest, trendiest Christians on the block kind of a thing. And but they were missing it. And so Paul just brings them back to this, and, you know, he says, look, he's already laid out. Love is it's got to be the foundation for everything. And so he says, pursue love. Pursue love. When we get together, pursue love. Reach out in love to people. Connect with people. Touch people's lives. It's so easy to just, you know, sometimes as a Christian, you might have these associations with people, but quite often they can be very distant. And we have to get closer to people. We have to get more involved in people's lives. That's where you really share love with one another. You know, you can't, you know, love is meant to be something that happens in close quarters. And so we've got to pursue that. So pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. So this is something that we are to desire. Lord, I desire those gifts. When we read through these chapters, as you go through and read your Bible on your own and you come across the gift chapters here or Romans 12 or wherever other, you know, section of scripture, you know, Lord, as you read that, just, Lord, I pray for those gifts. Desire those things. Ask God to grant those things to you and to use you as a vehicle for those things to flow through. And so that's what Paul tells us to do, to pursue love, to desire spiritual gifts. He says, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, he's going to tell us why in a moment, but first he says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So he's beginning to lay out his position here. He says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, because the person who speaks in tongues, they're only speaking to God. Nobody else can understand what they're saying, so nobody else is going to receive the intended blessing that God has through the gifts if they can't understand what is going on. So prophecy is a better gift because it's in an intelligible language that everybody can be benefited from. That's the point that he's going on to make. And so he says that the person who's speaking in tongues, that they're speaking to men, or they're not speaking to men, but they're speaking to God, and no one understands them. But in the spirit, they are speaking mysteries. So when a person is speaking in tongues, they're speaking mysteries. God understands what they're saying, but nobody else understands what they're saying, unless there happens to be an interpreter, and Paul will mention that as he goes on. But then he goes on and he says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So here's what prophecy does. It speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to people. Now, prophecy, let me just remind you, prophecy can come in a variety of different ways. Many times from the pulpit, if you will, from the person who's got the Bible open and giving the message from the scripture. Many times the prophetic word is going forth at that time. And you sense that because God's speaking right to you. But it's not only then that it's happening. It happens other times. It happens as we sometimes just give time for the Lord and wait on him. And, you know, Lord, just speak to us. And somebody might have a scripture on their heart that's burning on their heart. They'll share that scripture and somebody else, boom, that word just connects with them. Just ministers to them, speaks to them right where they're at. Or perhaps it comes through, God just puts an impression on somebody's heart and they come up and say, you know, the Lord just put this on my heart that I need to share this with you. And they share something and that's the connection there. There's the prophetic thing. So it happens in a variety of different ways. But it leads to these things, edification, exhortation, and comfort. So Paul says, this is the gift you want to desire. Why? Because your goal in ministering the gifts is edification. You want to see God's people built up. And that's what the Lord wants to see. He wants to see his people built up. So these three things, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification means building up. And that prophetic word when it comes, whether it's through the teaching of the scripture or maybe just a quoting of the scripture or just, you know, that impression that God gives somebody, it builds up individual people. It builds up the body collectively if it's a word to a congregation. And it has that effect of building us up in our faith. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to build us up in our faith. You know, honestly, I have to say this. I get so tired of listening to guys preach who are just always just sort of beating on God's people. They're not building them up. They're just criticizing so often. And, you know, just always sort of leaving people with the impression that you're a failure, you're a loser, you let God down this week, we know you did, and, you know, he's upset with you, and you need to be better, and you need to work harder. And, you know, I used to preach like that. And you know, just came to a certain point in my life. I thought, you know, what am I doing? Why do I continue to do this? And you know, I would do it to myself too. You know, preach condemning messages to myself. I'm such a loser. I'm so miserable. I can't believe God even loves me. How could God ever use me? You know, but I don't know when it happened. But there came a point where I just, you know, I think it's just growing in grace, where the Lord just began to show me, you know, look, I want you to bless my people. Remember what God said to Moses and to Aaron. He said, now, I want you to bless them. I want you to put my name upon them. And this is how I want you to do it. I want you to say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. The Lord give you peace. God instructed them specifically, this is what I want you to tell them. This is how I want you to bless them. And you know, I know why God told them exactly what to say, because that's not what they would have said. They would have said the stuff that I just told you that I and many other preachers have said. I'll never forget reading a well-known pastor's comments one day, and he was talking about how every Sunday, people in his church and people that had been in his church for many, many years would come to him, and they would be very disturbed, and they would feel very condemned and unloved by God and like they were failures. And I'll never forget his response was, well, praise the Lord, I think I'm doing a good job. And I thought, wow, how could he think that? Because, you know, obviously there's a time for exhortation, but look, it's when, if we're in sin, if we're compromising, then we need to have the Spirit address those things in our lives, and he will. But the way some people preach, you would think that that's just an endless cycle. We're never anywhere but that. We're never anywhere but in a place of, you know, failure and, you know, just falling short and so forth. Of course, we all are sinners, but God loves us, and he wants to build us up. And so we come together to be built up through the word. And that's what prophecy does. It builds up and it exhorts, or the word in other translations is encourages. So the prophetic word, it brings encouragement to us. You know, the word encourage, the idea is to impart courage. To be, you know, just that idea like God spoke to Joshua, you know, be of good courage. That's an encouragement. And so as we come under the ministry of the prophetic, there's that encouragement that's going to come to us. I'm gonna walk away feeling encouraged in my faith. I'm encouraged in the Lord. I'm encouraged in my walk. And then comforted or consoled. And of course, there are times when we need consolation. And that word will come and it will bring that consolation to our hearts. So you see, Paul says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, for this is the objective. The objective is to bless and to build up the saints, to build up the people of the Lord. And now he goes back to doing the kind of the contrast between tongues and prophecy. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesy. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So the person prophesying is greater, again, simply because it brings the edifying word, where the tongues is unintelligible, so nobody knows what's going on. So he says, the one who prophesies is greater unless the tongue speaker interprets as well. If the tongue speaker interprets, then you understand what's being said and you get the blessing that they would be getting as well from it. But without an interpretation, that doesn't happen. And so Paul says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? for you will be speaking into the air. So again, you have to remember the context there in Corinth, and believe me, there are many groups of people today that would have a similar idea. They would think the greatest possible thing you could do is get together and everybody just have a tongue fest. And, you know, they would see this as like, man, this is going to be the thing that's going to empower everybody. But Paul says, no. How is there going to be any blessing that comes forward if nobody knows what's being spoken? So there's not just some mystical, supernatural thing that takes place because people are speaking in tongues. You know, Paul is a person who is very much committed. He's obviously very much committed to the supernatural, but he's also very much committed to the intellect. He's very much committed to the mind. And, you know, some people want to sort of, you know, juxtapose the two. It's sort of one or the other, you know. Well, you guys are into Bible study, and you guys are into doctrine, and you guys are into theology, but we're into the Spirit, and we're into God moving and the gifts and all of that. No, it's not one or the other. It's both things combined. God's given us a mind, and he's given us an intelligible text to meditate on and to understand, but he's also given us supernatural things as well. We don't throw out one for the other. They're intended to work together. And those who strike that balance, they do the best, really, when it comes to growth and effectiveness for the Lord. Those who are, you know, stuck on either side are thereby limiting to some degree what God is wanting to do. So verse 10, he says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So again, Paul's just using some very practical, common sense kinds of illustrations here. You know, if you don't know the language that somebody is speaking, you're just at a complete loss, aren't you? There's no communication. There's no ability to really, you know, receive any real benefit from that. I've been a lot of places where people speak different languages, and I am just absolutely hopeless in those contexts. I can't even remotely figure out what people are saying. I just look at them and just shake my head like, no, I don't get it. I don't know. None of these words make any sense to me. So, you know, when Paul uses this illustration here, I think, yeah, I've been in those kinds of things many times. Unfortunately, I wish I could speak other languages, but I just haven't been able to do that yet, but there's still hope. So, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, let me just say this. Notice here, Paul is not demeaning tongues at all. I was reading a commentary today from a guy who, he did not believe that tongues existed in this era. And so he was talking about the tongues back in, you know, the biblical period. And even in that context, he was talking about it as it was just this weird thing that, you know, people got into. But he was almost talking about it like, you know, they shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. And I thought, well, you know, this guy's a pretty astute scholar. How did he miss the obvious here in these passages? Paul isn't demeaning tongues. He's not downgrading it or mocking the idea of tongues. He's speaking of it very matter-of-factly. It is a gift from God. But he's putting it in its proper place. He's not dismissing it.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson. And we do hope you make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Purpose of the Gifts of the Spirit. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0218. Once again, Our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBurdison and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBurdison. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.